Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Well, history is being made because for the first time, I think ever, we're having a podcast for an away game. I know, Jenny, it's difficult to actually comprehend that whole scenario. But
very
we've
confusing.
Also got, for the second time in history, at the end of Fly Me to the Moon, a bonus full recording of the press conference that Rob was recently at, asking, I believe, Mr. Carrick himself about Sam Greenwood, amongst other things, and pointing out in a wonderful way that Bristol City are just a point behind Middlesbrough in the league. So well done, Rob. That's great. You know, thumbs up for that part of you. I, of course, am fully anticipating playing in the National League with City in a year or so's time, because obviously that's the kind of sanction the Premier League will be encroaching. So it might be some time before we play again. Anyway, we also welcome the Bartleys, Thomas and Chris, back with us. How are you, Thomas?
I'm very well, thank you.
Splendid. And Chris Bartley, celebrating, obviously, the Leicester result, no doubt. Chris is frozen in the space and time, but hopefully Sean isn't. Sean, it's all good stuff these days. I mean, adds to that the huge smashing of Malta that the national lads actually did with a 2-0 victory, and then, of course, the brave 1-1 draw with North Macedonia. It's all good times, isn't it?
Absolutely. Stirring stuff, wasn't it, from the national side?
Yeah, you may say that, but there are many people who might sort of disagree with you. Let's turn first to Rob, if we can, because obviously this is part of the Fly Me to the Moon official podcast companion for the magazine. But of course, the last one was produced for Leicester. The next one will be coming up in December. Quietly confident. I mean, the sense of the press conference that I heard, and that obviously the listener will hear at the end of this piece, was that you know, there was discussions about obviously what's been learned, how things have been developed. A little concern about injuries to Lenihan, etc. But generally, a feel good factor, perhaps.
A feel good factor, absolutely. That it's always good to win on the verge of an international break. You've got 2 weeks to think about things, and it's always good to go in and having beaten the league leaders was tremendous. I suppose, yeah, that he kept saying that this was the most important game because it's the next game. But also, I suppose, we've got quite a bad record at Ashton Gate. We've come a cropper a few times. We're also against a brand new manager. So be interesting to see what he brings. He's been at Oxford United, where he's been pretty successful. So they'll come at us, no doubt, but that'll hopefully leave spaces for us to exploit. And yeah, so we're due a win there, definitely.
Bit of a spoiler alert, of course. I gather that Michael Carrick obviously went to the same coaching school or had similar coaching experiences to the new Bristol City incumbent, but wasn't aware of any strange things that were put in place there. Sean, are you kind of feeling, I mean, there's always that sense, particularly with respect to Middlesbrough, that you get a great result, like beating Leicester City 1-0, and then in a sense, the next one, it's a case of, oh, what happened there? Maybe the international break will actually have enabled a reset, so that won't happen this time.
I agree. I think there's definitely an element of that, and there's an element of caution probably from Michael and also from the fans that magnificent result against table toppers Leicester then doesn't really hold any value if you then go to Ashton Gate and get undone. And I don't want to sound disrespectful, but also, as you pointed to already, the fact that they're side by side in the league with us, we really need to respect every opponent that we come across. And I think probably there's no one better to be in charge than Michael Carrick with that, because he does always temper the expectation well, and he's always quick to sort of realign and refocus. So hopefully that's not something that'll undo us.
Yeah, I mean, again, the line from the Leicester City man, of course, Oxford's Mr. Manning, as you say, presumably not Bernard Manning, no, Liam Manning, just wanted to check that. I wouldn't want to see that Bernard Manning would have risen from the grave by anybody's recommendation. Thomas, look him up on YouTube and prepare to be astonished for all the wrong reasons. But in terms of Liam Manning, he wants basically fans to enjoy coming to watch the Robins. Jenny, how do you feel about that? Do you feel as though, yeah, as long as they don't start enjoying to watch the Robins tomorrow?
Well, absolutely, yes. You know, let them have a bit of deferred gratification here. I think we should enjoy going to watch Borough against the Robins, but for totally different reasons.
Yeah, fair point. Thomas, Bristol City have been one of those clubs that back in the day, of course, used to be in the old First Division with the likes of Clive Whitehead and company and Jerry Gow, who'd go on to do various other activities. Any thoughts? I mean, do you feel as though, I mean, they are 2 points behind Middlesbrough, so, you know, clearly if things did go badly, they would leapfrog us. But, you know, in terms of the overall thing, is it something which you think, yes, it's a perfect springboard to go on and thrash Preston North End on Tuesday?
Yeah, it's a tough fixture, I think. The last game there towards the end of last season was quite a dramatic match as we tried to sort of finish on a high, which didn't obviously go very successfully. One of those results which probably kind of hamstrung us a bit form-wise towards the end of the year. But yeah, I think obviously the hope is that we don't get too carried away from the Leicester result. I think the signs there were definitely very positive in terms of how we played and really, you know, entirely read their game plan and really, really challenged them for the whole match. But yeah, I mean, you know, new manager bounce, these things are always risky. You've got to be vigilant. So hopefully we can get a result and yeah, carry that into Preston, which is going to be another interesting match.
Sean, is this the time in essence where, clearly, having put the early start to the season long behind us, hopefully, you're really looking to get that wonderful player, oft spoken of, but nobody's able to identify her, momentum into action and actually work on that system?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this next period, it's easy to keep saying the next period will tell us where we are in the season, but I do think we've got a group of games that are not... they're not too scary, but there's certainly some in there that will test our mettle and see how far we really have come this season. The likes of Preston, like Thomas said, the likes of Leeds, even Hull have been much improved this season. So it'll be an interesting barometer, especially with a few people missing as well. And it's going to be an uninterrupted period of time where we just get matches thick and fast. So it's going to be interesting to see where we are.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, returning to that, we look at December, starting off on the 2nd of December, away to Leeds, 7 days later, home to Ipswich Town, then home to Hull City, then away to Swansea. And then, of course, you've got the little matter, of course, of the continued march to Wembley with the away match against Port Vale in the quarterfinals on the 19th of December before, just ahead of Christmas Eve, a home game against West Bromwich Albion. That's looking like a substantial wedge of games to effectively be dealt with.
Yeah, I think that's the way we like it, isn't it? We like to have lots of games, and we're fans anyway, and we like the challenge of all those games. There's a lot to look forward to there, a lot to get excited about, especially you mentioned near the end, Port Vale in the Cup quarterfinal. It's all the way now, isn't it, till March, no, without international breaks. So we'll need to draw on a lot of the squad. We've said that we've got Darrell Lenihan's joined, Tommy Smith has been out for the season. That's two senior defenders. We'll come on to it later, I'm sure, in later podcasts, but you'd expect we'd probably be needing to look for more defensive cover in January. You know, two out of four positions of the first team out. But Paddy McNair's played so well. He's looked so good and Dale Fry alongside him. And I noticed in the press conference that Michael Carrick was asked about Lucas Engel, who had like a nightmarish first game, being taken off at half-time. But he's now gone on to... He's playing so, so well. He's obviously got tremendous character coming in from Denmark, different league, you know, everything very different, and gets taken off at half-time. But, you know, that's going to... I think Carrick said about, you know, that he'd faced sort of tests like that many times in his career. And it's the sort of thing that the making of the player, isn't it? Either make it or break it. But that showed so much about Carrick as well, that he was able to quickly trust his player again to put him back in. And I can think of a few managers of a few clubs and a few Borough managers, ex-managers, where a player's taken off in that and in half-time and he never plays again.
Not that I want to channel the spirit of Jurgen Klopp, but I suppose I'm going to in any case. And I'm going to ask Jenny for her views on this. We have a spell that is Borough between the 19th of December and the 29th of December, 10 days, four games. I've already mentioned away to Port Vale, home to West Bromwich Albion on the 23rd, on Boxing Day the 26th, away to Rotherham, and then on the 29th, away to Huddersfield. Obviously, as Rob said, the fans love it, but from a sporting point of view, do you feel the players, I mean, this is going to test the squad, isn't it, surely, Jenny?
I think it is. I hope there's enough depth fit players in the squad to be able to do this, because this is going to be physically very tiring and mentally very tiring as well. And coming right over Christmas, well, you can kiss your holiday fun goodbye, can't you? I think they're going to find it very difficult. Has anybody else in the league got this same kind of timetable, or is it just, oh, unlucky, here's Borough, chuck them in?
I think the quarterfinal has probably added to the sequence from that perspective. So you could maybe say Port Vale are kind of going. So Sean, your thoughts on this? Or I mean, you know, it does seem, you know, particularly the gap of 2 days between the 23rd and the 26th, well, 3 days, say, that seems a very tight turnaround.
It is. It's very tight. It's a bit of a ludicrous schedule, really. But Carrick himself, as Rob's just alluded to, Carrick loves the matches. I get the feeling he'd rather not have the breaks in between, and he just likes the games coming thick and fast. My concern is probably in defence, as again, the other lads have mentioned, that we've got a right back and a centre back missing in the cover is a little bit thin on the ground. Maybe in an attack sense, it's not too bad. The likes of Rogers, Silvera could maybe come in and grasp the opportunity. So there's opportunities as well. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the squad stacks up with that kind of schedule.
Rob, on a slightly different note, and I think we'll bring the whole team on this. Obviously, Borough are very much pioneers in leading the way when it comes to points deductions, subsequently followed by Portsmouth, and then, of course, Everton, obviously on an increasing basis, because it makes so much sense to actually dock people points other than sort of finances when, you know, but then again, that's another line entirely. I mean, you're looking at that from the point of view of financial fair play. Is the Premier League losing the plot? Are they just running scared of the government possibly putting in a supervisor? What are your thoughts? Or is it a case of, frankly, I don't care. We've been there and we're not going back again.
No, I think it's about time the Premier League caught up with what's been going on in the EFL. Sorry to say that, Alex, but you know that we've seen so many clubs, a lot of the so often clubs that come down as well that they're financially all over the place, and it's just not fair on anybody else.
There is of course the likely response of potentially Leeds and Leicester, who might actually do for Everton well and truly if they decided to actually take financial proceedings out against them. It could get very messy. Chris, I mean, this seems to be, to use that classic cliche, unprecedented. We're obviously not connecting as well with Chris as we normally are today. He seems to be freezing at the most inopportune moments. Let's turn to Thomas.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, because obviously we had some degree of experience with this a few years ago.
Pioneers, as I said.
Yeah, not just with obviously the deduction, but then also with the whole Derby situation, which got, to be honest, it got quite nasty, I thought. I don't think anyone would probably disagree with that. That in terms of the level of vitriol on social media and stuff, it all got quite intense. But yeah, I think there's always a balance. I mean, whether or not the Premier League want to be seen to be doing something. I mean, I think that was certainly the case with the Man City news recently, because the likelihood of that case is that it's probably going to rumble on for a long time.
As I said, Thomas,
be...
I'm preparing for regular National League fixtures, and we'll cope with that, you know.
Well, it will test the mettle of all those City fans that have said, I would be with the club come hell or high weather if they end up getting demoted to the National League. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes of it. But I mean, gosh, it puts a real sort of definition on this season for Everton now, when they've plummeted down to, as if they're on 4 points now, I think. So yeah, big challenge for them ahead.
Mm. Sean, any thoughts from your own perspective, or is it a case of, well, you know, it's the world we live in?
I think it's a real difficult one, and following on from that, something that I found quite interesting was when they asked Kieran Scott in his interview about the financial fair play and things like that, and how do you go about making it more fair in the Championship, for example, when those sort of three relegated teams come down and have X amount of money. But I suppose on the flip side, as Scott pointed out as well, how do you go about it? Because you're a team geared up for the Premier League and the salaries reflect that. And all of a sudden you drop into a league where you're still having to pay that kind of money. So I guess it's not straightforward, but they've certainly opened, again, at the risk of trotting out cliches, they've opened the can of worms with this sort of decision, because now everybody's falling over themselves to say, well, we do this and we do that. And I even saw something about James Maddison's fee and such like. So there's all sorts of ramifications off the back of it.
Jenny, obviously such things never happen in rugby union. Oh, maybe they do, actually. Perhaps there was a well-known yeah. club who actually sort of was ejected from the league, etc., because of payments and so on. Any thoughts from the Tipperary view?
It's not something that happens in Ireland that much, because all of the teams are very much supported by the local area. Everything from sort of raffles to people giving kit to people decorating bins to look like their favourite team. It's a whole different setup. I think part of the problem is that football and to a certain extent rugby have become big business in the UK, and people are investing huge amounts of money in it that maybe have different priorities to the fans. And I think that's where the problem's coming from. But you can't unpick it now. You have no alternative. Mm. Good luck.
Chris, let's see if you're back with us. Any thoughts from yourself?
I think it's a tricky one, really, because I know over the years some of the Borough fans have been quite hostile towards the club about some of the sales that they've made. But I think the good thing is we've tried to run a tight ship, really. And a lot of the sales, I remember when we sold Traore, Bamford, and I think there was another player, Ben Gibson. I think all that was about was kind of trying to maintain within the sort of the parameters of the financial fair play. And, you know, I think... I'm sure anybody now would appreciate the situation we've got now, rather than kind of just waiting for that call, which might involve a points deduction. So I hope maybe retrospectively, some of the fans that were critical of some of the decisions that we were making now understand.
I think we got the gist of that. We froze it. Understand. Rob, let's turn back to your good self. Once again, in terms of the way things are going. Actually, I might also take a screenshot of this and actually pop it up, because Chris is clearly demonstrating what can only be seen as a classic Starsky and Hutch end pose from the 1970s, a kind of freeze frame on which you're left with kind of shock. Where's he going? Anyway, Rob, back to yourself.
Yeah, I think the danger is that the same three, that you get teams just bouncing up and down between the Premier League and the Championship. You see it a little bit with the Championship to the division below, and so you get total. What happens with every other team is just trying to chase those three that have the massive financial advantage, and they get themselves into trouble, or the owners do, and then the owners try and bail out of it, and it's the club and the fans that suffer. It's the rest of the league is very even. We say it all the time about that. You know, the Championship's it's a really competitive league, and anyone can beat anybody else. But those three that come down, if they are well run clubs, then they've got a massive advantage. And then, of course, if that parachute tail lasts several seasons, then it builds in advantage of anyone who's got the second chance. But I understand that clubs. I mean, if there was no parachute payments, would Bournemouth still be in business as a club? Because, you know, when you look at the capacity of their ground, they would
Portsmouth,
never...
perhaps.
Well, obviously Portsmouth have been through all sorts of terrible situations. Yeah, and they've suffered and gone well down. And of course, I mean,
or Luton Town.
Yeah, out of the league.
To be fair, they did actually sort of smash the record with, I think, a 30 points deduction.
But yeah, that was unbelievable, wasn't it, really? But I think it's only fair, you know, that everyone, if the rest of the league is trying to abide by the rules, if there's two or three clubs, well, you can see the clubs that have fallen foul of it. You look at Sheffield Wednesday, Derby County, there's so many of them fall, the relegation, you know, it just sort of, obviously the points have helped that situation, but they were in such a mess, and now Sheffield Wednesday continue to be in a total mess.
Almost as though we're continuing to go around in the same loop that might indeed see David Cameron come back to government. Oh, it's 2016 all over again. Still, never mind. Again, news since our last Fly Me to the Moon. Who would have thought that was going to be happening? Probably not Jenny. But in terms of that, let's not talk David Cameron unless you feel you have the urge to actually start going down that line. Let's talk predictions. Jenny, what are your thoughts on Bristol City against Middlesbrough?
I think it's going to be 2-1 to Middlesbrough. I think they're on a roll, and I think it's a six-pointer. 2-1 to Borough.
Thomas?
I think a 1-0 win. I think that it will be a bit of a tricky one. We haven't got, as we've said, we haven't got the best record there. And I think it will be a little bit of adaptation. Coming back after the international break, but I am confident we can get the win.
Okay, Sean, do you share that optimism?
I do. I share that exact scoreline with Thomas, actually. I think a 1-0, I really quite enjoyed the Carrick-like 1-0 man-marking victory over Leicester.
And Rob, a happy journey down to the West Country for yourself then, no doubt?
Yeah, I'm setting off straight after this podcast. I reckon we can win 2-0. Yeah.
And 2-0. Chris?
I think 3-1. I think we'll be energised by the Leicester performance.
Mm-hmm. And then the same possible challenge is faced with a home game against Preston North End, a team, to be fair, that have provided Borough with mixed results over the last few years. Jenny, any thoughts on the home game against Preston North End?
I think home field advantage is going to be very important. I would go 1-0 to Borough, especially if they do beat Bristol City. They're going to be on a bounce. Go for it.
Okay, Thomas?
I am going to say 2-0 this time for Preston. I think we will hopefully, yeah, as Jenny said, go in on a bit of a bounce from the weekend win. But yeah, home match under the lights Tuesday night, freezing probably. It'll be a good one, hopefully.
Well, we are approaching December. And Chris, is that scoreline one that you agree with?
I think we will beat Preston 3-1.
You like 3-1 as a score. I can see this coming across here. It's consistently 3-1. It's obviously Lana. Have you not got faith in the defenders keeping a clean sheet?
Possibly, but I think that they've got quite a good attacking potential, Bristol City and Preston, so we might be able to keep them out for 90 minutes.
And Rob, finally.
Well, it's proud Preston, isn't it? I think it's got PP on their badge, and they've certainly made a flying start this season, but hopefully we can help put a stop to that, and 3-0 to Borough.
Traditional 3-0 thing. Okay. November, of course, has been part of the traditional Discover Middlesbrough month scenario. Any highlights, Rob, you'd like to share with the team before we go into your press conference and so on?
Oh, it was a good couple of weeks at the end of October. Yeah, it went into November, and we got a lot of people to a lot of things, and hopefully we can do it again in May, and maybe we'll do a few more football things this time, perhaps.
Well, again, it's a whole routine. May, of course, we might be having a general election, so who knows what could be happening on that basis, but still I'm sort of working in the politics side of things on that. Okay, and Thomas, any inspiring thoughts from yourself in terms of Borough to see off in November with, obviously, as you predicted, two wins and then going boldly into our next gathering, which will be in December, of course, with the home game against Ipswich?
Well, I think that, you know, the opportunity now is a really big one, which is that we can go into the sort of January transfer window, or at least the new year, on a really positive note and look towards that as a window in which we're not desperately scrambling for players that to fill holes. It's more a case of who are the players. A bit like last year, to be honest, where we identified a few select positions and it just really took us to the next level and sustained a proper playoff campaign. So hopefully we can piece some results together these next few weeks and yeah, go into that Christmas period, which is always a really enjoyable one, sort of beginning with the Boxing Day match and then going into an FA Cup third round and all of that. And obviously we'll have the Port Vale game as well, so it could be a really exciting few weeks to come.
Looking ahead to the semi-final of the Carabao Cup, which could be quite fascinating in terms of its delivery and so on. Jenny, where can people obviously get your books in time for Christmas?
Right. Go to Amazon, or you can order... certainly you can order Puppy Brain from any of your local bookshops. Unfortunately, at the moment, most of the copies of the Alex Hastings series are sold out until I can get them reissued.
Well, we'll just have to sort of anticipate that happening in the not too distant future. Rob, can you set the scene now? Because we're going to obviously have a listener once again to the full press conference from that point of view. Just for the benefit of the listener who may not have attended a Borough press conference in the past, what's the kind of general room like when it's there? And obviously how you can savour the current Championship press conference before obviously you have to deal with all of the Sky Sports and the TNT people coming in when it comes to obviously Borough's soon to be return to the Premier League.
Yeah, it's usually 2 o'clock on a Thursday. Each manager has different times. Tony Pulis was 9 o'clock in the morning.
He stood up
with his cap. And I remember the first time he came in, the press wondered whether we were supposed to stand up as well. It's really strange. But Carrick's quite sort of relaxed. He talks to BBC Radio T's first in a room, another room, so that it's quiet. And then he walks in.
I've even heard they actually have a podcast. It's not a patch on Fly Me to the Moon. It's just random souls.
Yeah. And then he comes in and the etiquette is TV, ask the first questions, and then newspapers, and then me at the end. And I hope that my list of questions hasn't been exhausted. Because it's all recorded, actually, apart from me usually, so maybe I don't have to worry anymore. But as it's all recorded, you feel obliged to ask a new question. Mm. Whereas in the past, you might ask the same question again because the answer is for you, not for the for everybody else. That's the way it goes. And I just get one or two or three questions at the end.
And for the benefit of many of my sports journalism students who say, why do we have to keep learning shorthand? Do you still see shorthand being used there in terms of where notes are being made?
Do you know what? I haven't seen shorthand. I'm just trying to think. No, I had somebody who used to work with me called Ellie Brunton, and she was a journalism student, and she would do shorthand and other sort of journalists would come up to her afterwards and asking if she could supply the notes because she was so good. So I think it's really useful, but very few people do it anymore. And some of the guys that from the newspapers are actually typing on their laptop as it goes on. So they're typing stuff. They're trying to keep up in that way.
Fun fact for anybody who's actually looking for a career in journalism with Sky Sports, if you don't have shorthand, Sky Sports won't actually look at you. They basically need it from the point of view of the legal requirement because there are still issues with respect to technology and so on. Even in the 21st century, shorthand is mandatory. Otherwise, it's not accepted in a court of law. And there aren't many media agencies that would actually take you on board if you could possibly get them sued. I'm just saying. Anyway, that was just financial fair play. Okay, right, we've done the various other bits and pieces, but one thing we haven't done as yet is, Rob, how can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
If you go to the website, fmttmborough.com, and have a look for subscribe. And I think next week we should launch our Christmas subscription, I think. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do a special special thing for the second half of the season from and Christmas onwards. And I'm hoping, Alex, we're talking about books, we're hoping that My Borough Debut will have some sort of reissue of that for Christmas through Amazon. So look out for that.
And one has to ask the question, of course, will there be the traditional Bernie Slavin photo book being released? And now, of course, that, you know, I rarely see him actually in the what used to be the Cleveland Center, et cetera, doing that, because obviously they've closed so many stores and shops these days. I'm just wondering what's happening.
Well, I think everyone will be asking that. I can't see him passing over the opportunity, can you? I'm sure he's going to be there. Hill Street Center these days.
Hill Street Center, quite right, yeah. So too. Okay, well, to Sean, to Chris, to Thomas, to Jenny, huge thanks as ever. Obviously, Rob, it is your show, so you just let the rest of us kind of hanging around for a few minutes. Chris does a few poses, freeze frames every so often. Where's, for one reason, Chris, I thought you were wearing a West Bromwich Albion shirt today. Clearly not. Maybe it's just sort of the way that you were sort of working on that basis. No, definitely not. Denying everything. Maximum vehemence there. So, Rob, you know what we need to do now to take us round to, of course, the press conference. You need to lead us all in that final rendition of those seven basic words. After three.
We can't. Well, yes, we'll count down. Go on. You.
Three, two, one.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough. Up the Borough.
Hi, Michael. Hi. Back to it this weekend. What's it been like being back out on the grass with the squad?
Yeah, good. It's, you know, the boys had a few days off and managed to recharge the batteries a bit and refresh for another big push. So it's a good balance of a couple of weeks, really. Good training, good rest, and obviously good focus now and getting back on the job.
Any fresh injury concerns rear their heads over the 2 weeks?
Not really, no. No, the boys came through the game okay and touch wood, the ones that have came through internationals should be all right. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Obviously, it comes off the back of that win at Leicester, the league leaders. Really good feeling around the dressing room, I imagine, after that. How do you keep that going at the through the international break to kind of take it into the next game?
I think there's a natural feeling of, obviously, there's a bit of confidence gained from that, and there's a natural lift for everybody. At the same point, there's a natural bit of a pause in switching off. You know, I think the boys who have not gone away on international, it's important that they switch off and have a breather and come again stronger. And for me, this game's even bigger than the Leicester game. I think there's a natural buzz and there's a natural feeling around the Leicester game. Top of the league and you know, coming down from the Premier League, and good team. I think there was a big feeling in the stadium that it was a big game. For us, this is an even bigger game, going down to Bristol, new manager, first game at home, and with total respect for Bristol, it's one that is you can take your eye off the back of Leicester, because everyone's still enjoying Leicester. Well, that's done, and this challenge is even bigger for us, so we're looking forward to it and be ready for that. But we certainly use the energy and the confidence that we've gained over recent weeks.
You mentioned Bristol City's changing manager there. Does that almost complicate, like, change your expectations of a game? Because obviously, with the timing of when it happened, he's had time to kind of bed in his ideas into the squad as well.
Yeah, of course, there's that goes into it in terms of, you know, trying to get a gauge on what they're going to look like, what they're going to try to do. And it's not always easy, of course, because there's not loads to go on. But and then there's a big element of trusting what we do and trusting the players, and you've got to take what's in front of you, really, and embrace the challenge. So it's in some ways it can make it a little bit more difficult, in some ways it kind of simplifies it, because there's not loads to delve into, and we can kind of take what we can and trust ourselves an awful lot.
Darren Lenihan obviously confirmed this week he's out for the season. Obviously that's a blow in terms of your squad, but I imagine he'll still be a really positive influence around the squad as well.
Yeah, it's obviously a blow to lose Dara. We've suffered from a few injuries recently, and obviously Tommy and Dara being longer term. So yeah, it's a blow. Unfortunately, it is part of the game. It's not the nice part of the game, but it is part of the game, and as a squad, and we have to deal with it. And the boys have done that very well so far, you know, and but Darragh is a big influence around the group in the dressing room. He continued to do that. To be honest, all the boys who have been absent or injured or missed out over recent weeks, then they've all been massive influence around the group, which shows how strong it is.
And last question from me. Obviously, this is the first game of quite a long run in up till Christmas. It's going to be a very busy time for the squad. You've just had that last gulp of air in terms of the international break. What's your message to the squad about what you want to see them achieve over that period?
Just keep going, you know, keep improving. I think it's let's not get too carried away with what's coming up. I think game at a time, and like we have done all since I got here, and you know, what's next, what can we control, and game by game, you know, and there's a balance now for us, obviously, managing the squad, but you know, it's busy, but it's, you know, it's possible, it's no big deal really. The boys are fit, they're strong, they're looking forward to playing games, so the more games the better for me.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. Michael, Hayden Hackney certainly had an impressive international break away. Just how much potential has he got here back at Borough?
Yeah, delighted for Hayden. He's had another good couple of games away with England, and he's settled in very well when he's gone there, watched the games, and he looks at home, which is a really good sign. And every time, he's the type here, and every time there's a challenge or a step up, he kind of takes to it quite naturally, and he's done that ever since I came here. So yeah, he's full of potential. There's loads more to come from him. He's doing great. Really enjoy working with him. He's obviously a big part of the team. So it's fantastic for the club to have players come through the academy and be recognised, you know, from national teams, and have a big part to play in the first team. It's what the academy is all about. And I think Hayden is the shining light of that at the moment.
Bristol, like Plymouth recently, you know, both long away trips. Do you yourself enjoy the long away trips, or do you prefer a trip where you can get back quickly and shift your focus quickly to the next game?
I said it before, the exit in Plymouth, we're lucky, we're fortunate that it's not actually that far, you know, we're able to jump on the plane and it's 40 minutes, so it seems a lot, and there's obviously a lot of miles to cover, but really we're quite fortunate in that respect, so the travel really isn't a big deal for us.
That's all.
Mike, you mentioned the period there up to and including the Coventry game on New Year's Day. I think it's 30 points to play for. I mean, would you expect by that time the table, you know, might start to kind of take shape a bit?
Yeah, maybe. Even then, there's still a fair stretch, you know, between then and the end of the season. I wouldn't necessarily say there's a certain point in the season where you kind of look at the table and think, all right, that's where we are. Just think it's just keep winning games as much as you can, picking up points. If you can't win games, pick up points, and then it'll kind of work itself out. I'm not one for kind of setting a target. I'm not one for looking at a table at a certain time. It is what it is. You've got to get through the season, so just appreciate and enjoy the challenge going week by week, really.
Yeah. You mentioned, obviously, Liam Manning going in at Bristol. Is it someone you know well at all? Am I right in saying you did your pro licence together? Is that right?
Yeah, we were on the same course. So yeah, we come across each other, spend some time together, so it'll be good to catch up. Delighted for him. It's a really good job, terrific job for him, and he's obviously earned it, so yeah, I'm sure he'll pose us a challenge on Saturday.
Yeah. When you do them courses, do you kind of bounce ideas or tactical thinking off one another, anything?
Yeah, little bits and pieces, yeah, but not enough to know what he's going to do on Saturday.
Obviously, just on Darragh, obviously he's the second kind of defender and second really experienced defender that you've lost for the season. Now, I mean, thinking ahead to January, does that then start to, you know, potentially change plans for January, or, you know, make things, you know?
I think it's just always evolving, you know. There's always moving parts when you're trying to balance the squad, and you've got transfer windows, or you've got boys that are fit or not fit, or in good form, or maybe he's having a bit of a pause, if you like, and then ready to come again. So it's never set, you know. There's always a surprise, and there's always a little change along the line. So we're always ready for that anyway. Losing players, you know, senior players over a period of time is a blow, you know. It's disappointing, but that's why we have the squad, and boys are there to take the opportunities and take the chances and to flourish, and they've certainly done that of late.
Yeah, and just lastly from me, after the Leicester game, you highlighted the two fullbacks. I know we've spoken much about Raph, but in terms of Lucas on the other side, you know, he had quite a difficult start at the club, I think it's fair to say, but since he's come back into the team, have you been impressed with, you know, how he's handled that and, you know, the character that he's shown?
Yeah, I'd be hugely impressed. I wouldn't say I'm surprised, because knowing him as a player, I think it's and as a person, of his drive and his determination, you could see that from the start as well. And sometimes that little setback, that little challenge, kind of makes you in the end. And delighted for the way he's playing. It's great to see. You know, it's what we expected, what we knew he was capable of, and there's still loads more to come.
Yeah, there was that night, obviously, at Hillsborough where he came off at half-time. Did you ever have that in your playing career where you had a particularly difficult night in it?
Plenty of them, yeah. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I presume from that you probably know that it wouldn't have been a nice thing for Lucas, and I'm sure, you know, that would have been in your thought on the night when you made the decision, albeit you've got to think about the bigger result and the team as a whole in making that. But I mean, in terms of the character to come through that, you know.
Yeah, I think that all the time when I look back over the moments in my career or in my life, it's the ones that are challenging a little bit, that not necessarily at the time are pleasant and you enjoy going through, but they kind of make you. They make you or break you. It depends how you come out of it, but certainly if you come out of it, you come out stronger and you're much better for it. I've totally found that through my career, and I think there's an understanding, well, it certainly is for me, well, that is one game or two games or three games doesn't make or break a player's career. You know, we're there to support the players and we believe in them, they're here for a reason, so it's not over a week or two where we'll make a judgment and it's the beginning or the end. It's a period of time, and that goes with all the players really, and seeing them develop and have that confidence in us that we have the belief in them.
Riley and Marcus, how are they in terms of this last 2 weeks? Have you got them any nearer, or where are they at?
They're nearer, but not near. No, they're not that close, to be honest.
Right.
Still a few weeks away.
But we're not talking, hopefully, Dara style out for the
season.
Oh,
no, it's not a season, though. You're talking weeks, really.
Right.
So how many weeks that is, as I said from the start with Riley, it's a little bit, because it's his foot and
yeah.
His plantar fascia. It's not an easy one to get on top of, so it's... we're working through that, and he's making progress, which is important. Marcus is a good few weeks, so we'll work through that, and we'll get him back as quick as we can.
Your two goalkeepers, potentially, they could be heading off in January, couldn't they? For a bit, Senny obviously to Africa, Cup of Nations, Tom to Australia. I mean, does that have to influence a little bit the way you deal with your keepers as a whole between now and January, i.e. maybe bringing other people into the squad so that you're not all of a sudden in January putting, you know, people in who have never even been in a match day squad this season?
Yeah, it's obviously something we've got to look at, you know, something we've been aware of, so it's not new for us. We knew the situation, and it's a little bit of making plans, it's a little bit, I was talking before, things change, but of course you've got to have a plan and understanding what it might look like. So yeah, that's kind of ongoing really, but yeah, we're fully aware of
And I presume because you're aware of it, the lads who are away, I mean, most loans now are callback options anyway, but I would suspect, am I right, what are we right in thinking, that is an option that's on the table?
It's one of the options, yeah, it's one of the options, and there's all sorts goes into that, is each individual, what they need as well. Of course, it's, you know, what's best for us and for the team and what we need, but there's a big element of each situation, and it's not pulling everyone back just because we need them back here. Actually, they've got their kind of development as well to think about, so it's not just a straightforward let's get every goalkeeper back that we've got. I think there's an awful lot goes into that, and we'll do, and we'll try and make the best for everyone anyway.
When you talk about Hayden there, I mean, he's come such a long way in you know, in a very, very short space of time, and he's obviously now got the international stuff as well. And I mean, you obviously deal with him as a player in terms of developing his technique, tactically, all that side of it. How much do you work with him as a person, just to make sure that, you know, because everything we hear about him is that he's really level-headed, it's not going to affect him, but there are examples, loads of examples in the past of players where it has been difficult for them to mentally deal with all of that. How much do you have to focus on that?
To be honest with you, I think there's no sign of that with Hayden.
Yeah.
He's coped with everything, as I said before, in terms of football. Every time there's a challenge, he's stepped up and his game's taken on that challenge, and he's not changed one bit as a person, as a lad, since I walked through the door, which is testament to him and his family, and it's not easy to do that. So a lot of respect goes out to him for that. There's a lot can be thrown at you. There can be a lot of, especially how well he's done. It can turn your head. It can people stop me in the street, and all of a sudden it can change you as a person. But it certainly hasn't done that. He's a dream to work with. Really is. He comes in, gets on with his work, wants to improve, wants to learn, but absolutely no fuss. So I'm sure he'll continue that. I don't worry about him one bit in terms of that side of things. I think whatever is thrown at him, he can cope with. Because he does it in such a kind of assurance and with an authority, really, but and in a confidence, but no fuss, which is a fabulous way to be.
And do you think both on and off the pitch, he's benefited an awful lot from having Johnny next to him on the pitch, next to him in the dressing room, all of that? Because yes, they're different midfielders, but you know, in terms of a kind of role model, if you like, you couldn't really ask for much better, could you?
I think it's vital. I've said it to you before. I think about senior players are so important, to have good senior players, senior pros. That sounds quite an old-fashioned thing, senior pros, but I think it's I certainly had it, and I was fortunate enough at West Ham to have really good ones around me.
Yeah.
I had John Moncur and Steve Lomas at the time, who were in the first team, and then helped me when I got in there, similar to what Johnny's helping Hayden. And I think there's a good number of good, really senior lads that look after the young boys and guide them in different ways. Some speak to them a bit, some set the example, but what the boys do see is kind of how to go about your business day in, day out, how to react, how to behave. And then obviously the performance comes a little bit from yourself and expressing yourself and doing what you're good at. And it's a really good place to do that, I think. But the young boys are all thriving, which is fantastic to see.
And just lastly for me, I know at the start of the season you always said, you know, the confidence was there, that things were turning and everything, but in terms of where you are now in your league position and the form that you were in prior to the international break, you must be pleased with the position you've got yourself into to now attack this big chunk of games between now and the start of next year. And not to be complacent or anything, I accept that, but it's a good launching pad, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm more pleased with the way kind of boys have dealt with it, really, and kept a level edge. Talking about Hayden, and he's a good example of that. But I think in general, some of the boys started the season when we weren't getting the results, but they never really flinched, you know, and always kept believing and always kept on the right track. And then you come through it, and so I'm more impressed with the way boys have coped with it, really, more than anything. And we've got the trust and utmost belief in them, and kept telling them that, but they've still got to feel it and deal with it, really, and they've certainly done that over time at the team, but as a squad, and we need to keep that trend going, you know. And now we're in a good position, decent position, good position, decent position, whatever it is. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest, exactly where in the league, but I've got no idea, because I haven't really paid much attention at this point. But it's about winning games, you know, seeing where that takes us. And there's some good teams in the league, I think we know that. We came up against some and we'll come up against some in the next few weeks, so there's always new challenges ahead.
Well, we're one place ahead of Bristol City, I think, in the league, aren't we? I think so that just reaffirms what you were saying earlier, that this is a big game for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big game because it's the next game. Wherever we were in the league, wherever they are in the league, it's the next game, really. It doesn't change how we approach the game, really doesn't. We have to change ways of approaching the game in terms of the opposition and what they do and the strengths and how we think we can hurt them. But really it doesn't affect our mentality of what time of the season it is, what our last result was or anything like that. We try to keep quite level with it, and the next one's the biggest one because it's the next one and it's the most important one. But in terms of how we change, we won't really change for it.
Ask about Sam Greenwood, because a player that when he joined us on loan, very limited experience really, but tremendous potential. How pleased are you at his contribution, and how far do you think he can go with us this season?
Yeah, delighted. I really enjoy seeing, you know, knowing that players have got that potential and seeing them thrive and develop and grow, and trying to give them a platform to do that. And Sam's been terrific, like you say. You know, he's played obviously a bit of football, but he's still in his early days of his career, and to come and improve and develop so quickly, I think we can all see what he offers the team, and his attitude and the way he's settled in has been absolutely first class. And he's another one. There's loads more to come, which is really encouraging. It's still early days in his career anyway. So I really enjoy seeing the boys develop and thrive and kind of look like they're enjoying themselves, which is really important.
And you mentioned that it's not such a hassle for the players and for the team to get to Bristol City. Obviously, it's but it's back to the southwest again for all the supporters. Is it a boost, the fact that it's going to be a lot of fans on the road again supporting you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, boys thrive off it. You know, it means a lot seeing the numbers and the noise that in the back and that the boys receive is amazing. We've had some journeys over the last 6 weeks or so, and still there in numbers and showing support. So yeah, it means an awful lot.